the senior leaders would like to come up, then there's the chance that some of these will be given to us as well at this point in time. That's brilliant. Thank you. So senior leaders, up we come. All those in the team.
That's it.
So
I'll just wait. Yeah. Ooh, so we've had lots of different words and pictures from God, and we're just going to share a few. So from Toby, he put in the senior leadership team plant pot. Toby, so he said, God loves us. So Toby says, and he's written it here. Okay, and then in the...
Water won't hurt you.
Yeah. So Anna heard, water won't hurt you. She put that in the senior leadership box. And we have Rich and Laura. Someone wrote, good leaders forever. Anna looks sweet. And then in our Andy and Karina plant box, Daniel drew a picture, and it was water, and he wrote, to drink so you won't be thirsty, is what he said.
Thank you. Do you want to give any of those out around those of us here? That'd be brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you. God is speaking all the time to us all. It's really important that we're listening. And we here today, drink so you're not thirsty. And that's important for us.
We just want to acknowledge that there's particular emphasis on myself and Laura and Andy and Karina, but we also, this is your senior leadership team here. And so it's important that we as a team are here to receive these prayers and receive your prayers. So I wonder if you'll just join me in praying for this wonderful group of people who serve and bless this church. Can you join me? Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift of people, this group of people who serve in so many ways. We thank you for their hearts, Lord. We thank you for their willingness to sacrifice and give of themselves to further your cause and to bless and love your church. This morning, Lord, we pray again blessing on these people. We pray anointing of your Spirit on these people, that each of them will be using their gifts according to your purposes and in your power, Lord. We pray for a dependence upon you. We pray for a trust on you, Lord, from this team. And we just pray now that your hand would be on this team as we continue to serve you, Lord, and serve this church family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Rich. That's great. So there's going to be a great opportunity for us all to be involved in prayer in a practical and physical way later. I'm whetting your appetite. We're going to be engaged in lots of prayer. And children, who have special times to go to now, will be coming back to join us with all the helpers for that. So we just want to pray that God will be blessing us in here as we remain. We sometimes say that the other way around, don't we? We're saying God's presence is with us everywhere here today. So we say, God bless those who are working with our children. May they have got grace for today. For all the kids, you're going to have a fantastic time thinking and engaging with God and be blessed and have great fun together. And we are looking forward to you coming back later to join in our prayer again. So it's brilliant that we've been able to share in those prayers so far. So, children, you have a great time, and we'll be continuing right here, right now. And I think I would like to introduce Norman at this point, who's going to come and give us a little bit of history and story.
Hi, I'm Norman. Oh, you just heard that, haven't you? Been part of the scene here for a little while. When the church started in the 60s and 70s, we began to grow very, very rapidly. But we were totally independent, and we knew that, you know, there could be dangers in that. But then in the 70s, we got to know Barney Coombs, and Jack and Barney became really strong friends, really, really good friends. And Barney was already beginning to relate to some churches, which eventually became what we know now as Salt and Light. And we began to get real benefits from that. He would come down and love us and bless us and ask the hard question from time to time. He went off to Canada, we've had others. And more recently, as Salt and Light has evolved into different spheres, we've been part of a sphere, which has been headed up by Martin Nestor. I nearly forgot that. And Martin Nestor have been such a blessing to us as a church. Now, I want to make a point that when we receive these people, these are not visiting preachers. We have lots of visiting preachers, and we're very blessed by them. If I'll use a posh word, we receive these guys apostolically, which means they can challenge us if they want to. They can ask the awkward question. But most of the time, 99.9% of the time, they're just blessing us. And on a personal level, I've been so blessed by having them. As part of this. Very important for us that they're here this morning. But, now I'm not sure I'm allowed to use the R word, retired, but yes, Mark and Nestor are passing over the leadership of the sphere to Alan. Now, we know Alan, we've known him for years. Those of you with long memories will remember that Alan was the speaker at one of our very earliest Newquay weekends. You remember that?
Yeah? I do.
That was good, so we've known him for a long time, and he has taken over leadership of the sphere, and it is our joy to welcome him and relate to him in a very, very similar manner to these others. Much more than visiting speakers, friends, helpers, mentors, apostolic input, people who have a right, because we've given them the right, to ask any difficult questions and to raise, is that a good idea, or what do you think about this? And we welcome that. As I say, 99% of the time, just blessing and loving us. And so, if I've been around for over five decades, mostly in the leadership, so on the behalf of the leadership team and on the church, I want to thank you as representative of Salt and Light. Hugely blessing. I want to welcome you, Alan, on behalf, because we know we're going to have a great relationship. You're coming to Newquay this year, aren't you?
2020.
Oh yeah, sorry, 2020. Yes, yeah. Next time. So, I think, would you all show your appreciation to these guys with a good round of applause, and I'll hand over to Chris.
I'm here just to say a few words about Andy and Karina, and then we're going to pray for them. It's now 30 years since Andy left teaching as a maths teacher to come on staff here at ISCA Christian Fellowship, as it was known then. Initially he was a youth leader, and then for the last 16 years he's served as senior leader. In recent years he's also served on as a regional team leader for the local churches in the Salt and Light family, Hatherley, Exmouth, Bridgewater, and until recently, Minehead, no longer a congregation. Andy now chairs One for Exeter, a group seeking to create greater unity and partnerships across the churches to reach the city with the good news of God's kingdom. He's also a long-standing director of SWIM, Southwest Youth Ministries, and recently he's moved from many years of commitment as a school governor to becoming a trustee of the Ted Rag Trust, responsible for the Christian input in a number of schools across the age range in and around Exeter. So although he's been fully involved in the life of the church, he's been deeply committed to young people and the education of young people, trustee of Ladysmith School and chair of governors, and then Morris and St. James's. Earlier in the year, there was a prophetic word for you, Andy, which it seems good to recall at this time. It's centered around the concept of networking, and that God is calling you to network. Net and work, the two words were important. First, this is a word, work, God has called you to. And secondly, it is about a net. You are called to network. to make nets and to mend them in the church, across the city, and further afield. Networking is your calling. You are to be a networker, mending and building relationships, networking for the kingdom. So, with great pleasure today, we recognize this significant season of involvement for both you, Andy, and Karina, that you have across the city and region. Andy and Karina continue to serve on our ISCA leadership team, but are stepping aside from the senior leadership role, which means that Andy and Karina are able to give more time to these other initiatives. There are strategic missional opportunities which they will now be able to pursue more fully, as well as a greater involvement in the synergy sphere of churches to which we're a part. I would ask Mark if he'd like to come up now and speak to this.
So thank you, Chris, and thank you for the rest of you for that round of applause for us. Always like a little round of applause, it's always quite affirming. And for all of us who are here today, I just want to say that we wanted to be here today because we do believe it's a significant day. A significant day in the life of this church. So those who've come from Exmouth or those who are visitors or guests here today, we all want to be together for this because we want to mark it as a significant time. So really I'm just introducing how we're going to pray in a moment or two for both Andy and Karina and then for Rich and Laura after that. I just want to say this just to introduce it. This is a wonderful truth really. Whatever God appoints or whoever God appoints, he also anoints. You might want to break into small groups and discuss that. Yeah?
No.
I think that's a wonderful truth. That what God appoints, whoever he appoints, he also anoints. This is what, we've got a little story from the Old Testament where Samuel the prophet was looking out for who should he be anointing as the next leader. And he just says this, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him, David, for he is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. See, God doesn't just say, right, off you go, do a task, do a job. He says, and I'm going to give you heavenly resources to be able to do that. I'm going to anoint you. And anointing is about that. It's about God endorsing it and giving affirmation and resources from heaven. And the interesting thing about David is he wasn't anointed once. He was anointed three times as his role changed. So when we pray for Andy, it isn't like he hasn't been anointed before, but I believe as he goes into something fresh and new, what's there at? A fresh anointing. Yeah. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Fresh anointing. That's wonderful, isn't it? Okay. When we appoint and pray for Rich with Laura together, is actually anointing for leadership. And here's what God did in the Old Testament, particularly. He said, "Like I want to appoint a leader, and I want to then anoint them for that role and the task." Here's even better news, though. We now live in the New Covenant, and in the New Covenant, it isn't just a few leaders who get anointed.
Yeah.
In fact, every task, every role, every single thing that God says to you, I want you to do, he says, and I will anoint you for that. You know why? He says, because at the beginning of Acts, it says, and the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Isn't that great? We're not just one or two people anointed anymore. We're all anointed. But it is specific today that these people, as we pray for them, that as they are appointed into new tasks, new roles, or released into new things, there is fresh anointing for them. So I'm going to ask, are we going to move into praying for you first? Okay, so we're going to ask Andy and Karine to come up. You're going to do this bit.
Yeah. And if the senior leadership team could come up, and the regional team could come up, we're going to pray for Andy and Karina. Just two or three of us. The psalmist says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. And that's what we're praying today. A unique and distinctive anointing to equip Andy and Karina for this new role. So we pray, come Holy Spirit upon them now in a fresh way, to touch their spirits, to touch their minds, to illuminate new truth and wisdom and insight for them, and power and strength to do what you've equipped them to do.
Amen. God, I thank you so much for Andy and Karina, for all that they've said, for the number of times they've stuck their neck out and put a head above the parapet. They've prayed dangerous prayers. They've been on their knees for us as a church family and for the things we're doing in the city. God, we just lift them up and honour them. We lift them up to you, God. We're so grateful for all that they've done, and all the things that we haven't seen that only you have seen and known about, God. We honour them for that. I'm just struck by the written Old Testament verse about all the places you set your feet, that they'll be holy. You do so clearly see that there are new rooms, new environments, contexts, new teams you're going to be involved with, new things for you to get involved with. And you carry the fragrance of God with you, carries of his presence. God, would you give them great boldness and wisdom in those settings, in those places, and just undergird them with such a confidence that you are with them, and as we're doing so now, as you've done, God, that they are anointed for those new places. And they have our full support.
Thank you, Lord.
And Ian Karina, as I was praying for you this morning, I felt like God was saying that you're moving forward, you're not moving on. You guys are not moving away, you're moving forward. And Father God, I want to pray for Andy and Karina that you would set the direction that they're moving. Father, that as they move forward, they would be moving forward following you, that you would go before them, that you would guide their steps, that you would direct them in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I just want to further that. Andy, a month or so ago, you told us stories of your train journeys as a younger man, thanks to the generosity of your dad and the generosity of the railway service. And you spoke of your journeys that were always round trips. They were always these gifts of an annual event where you could go wherever you like and explore a new part of the country. But it was a return journey. It was a round-term journey that was coming home. And I just feel like today we're kind of giving you spiritual return trips. We're giving you tickets for spiritual return journeys today. We're giving you permission. We're sending you. We're encouraging you to go in God's name, take new ground, further his kingdom, go about his business. But we're saying this is a return journey. This isn't that we're sending you away, we're saying go do his work, but come back. So we just pray blessing on that, blessing on those journeys, Lord, and that you'll be giving Andy those tickets in the coming weeks and months.
Andy and Karina, I feel God has got two new outfits, one each for you. And because this is a special occasion and this is marking something new, and when each one of our children got married, I had a new outfit for each wedding. Mark had a new tie for each wedding. I had a whole new outfit, shoes, hat, handbag, everything to go with it, because it was a very, very special occasion and we could only afford for one of us to have the full new outfit. But I just felt what God was saying today to you was, he has a new outfit for you. They're not the same outfits, because you don't look good in each other's clothes. He has something that is special for you. But the other thing I thought about new outfits, they're not always very comfortable to start with, because they're not quite what you're used to wearing. Maybe you can't move quite so freely in them as you can in your old clothes, or wandering around the house as some people do in their pajamas and so on. It's something that takes a little bit of getting used to, and you will get used to these. So I just thought God wanted to say, receive these new outfits today and wriggle about in them. Give yourselves a chance to get accustomed to these new clothes, these new garments of praise that he's giving you today. And Lord, I just want to pray your blessing upon Andy and Karina. Lord, as we rejoice in them, as they put on these new outfits to celebrate this new occasion, Lord, would you help them to find comfort in these outfits? Help them, Lord, to wriggle around in them until they become comfortable and become their size and their shape. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Looking at that tree over there, I just had these words that you are firmly rooted, and this is what people would see from the outside, this strong tree that's been planted for time and has grown in its fullness. But what people don't see is what's been growing under the ground, and there's been roots that have been growing and stretching out, seeking out new places for replenishment. And there's this sense of like some of the roots have actually gone very, very far, and this is the season that you're coming into now, that these roots where they have grown are now popping up in different places, some nearer, some further afar, and are starting growing their own little trees. And that's the season that you're coming into. So there is this time where you're firmly planted, but there are these roots that are stretching out in all directions, some nearer, some further afar, and they're starting to grow their own trees. Its own life is going to be bursting forth in those different places.
Okay, let's just lay hands on, shall we? As many hands as we can get. Lord, we do thank you for this couple who have served you so faithfully. We thank you for the fruit of their labour. We thank you, Lord, that you look upon them and you smile, Lord, because, Lord, they've served you so faithfully and willingly. But Lord, we want to pray for new days for them. Lord, as their roots have gone deep, Lord, we pray that their extent, if you like, their influence may grow wider. We pray for an extending of their ministry and their influence. We ask, Lord, that these may be fruitful days for them. Lord, as they kind of get used to new garments, Lord, that will be something fresh for them, we pray that there may be extension in every part of their ministry. And we ask, Lord, that you would take all that they have been and done, and Lord, you would somehow cause it to be stretched further afield and for greater and greater influence. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We release them as well, Lord, into what you've got for them in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you everyone. That's very encouraging. I just know that those roots from Karina's raspberries go all through our lawn. Yeah, it's brilliant. Okay, so now for me to introduce, as if he needs any introduction, Rich and family. But Rich came to ISCA in 2004. That's 2 years after Laura joined as a student. And these fresh-faced youngsters were married in 2005. At university. I had the privilege of speaking at that occasion. Another privilege was to sit with Jack at the reception. What a great couple. I can hear Jack Hardwick saying as we sat at 8 up at the Reed Hall. Their sacrificial leadership was evident in the student work with the homeless, which Rich led. And in time, having led our ISCA Church mission and outreach, particularly in and around Beacon Heath here, choosing to live here and come and be incarnational. Then by serving on a leadership team, Rich began working for ISCA in 2013. That was part-time. 2014, full time. Do you remember we had a special offering to release the resourcing for that? Now, if ever you were unsure about something, well, let's put out a special offering. Over 30,000 came in one hit. Because we all knew God's anointing was already on this man and on a call on their lives as a family. What an endorsement that was. So now the testament to Richard's leadership is evidence in many ways, not least the creation of Iscariot Community Enterprises, 99-year lease of the Beacon Community Centre. But much more than a building, a community, forming a whole mission that has, you know, transformed what we are and how we think of ourselves as church in the last 5 years, isn't it? And led to many other developments. And Rich spurring us on in mission, supporting the work in Pinhoe Monkerton, encouraging us right across the city of Exeter to be active and reaching out. So God's hand is clearly on this humble, servant-hearted, strategic and pioneering man. The whole family, Laura, Peter, Ellie, Barney, you all share in the call. You all live here. God moved you all at that point, and you're all part of what God is doing. And you know what? We're ever so thankful for you all. And now that Rich senses that call from God, and right here in the heart of this community, it's like a field of opportunity, white for harvest, God has placed you as workers together. And we're privileged, aren't we, as a church, to have them with us, and we're right with you. Let's welcome them as they come up, please. And today, we are affirming and receiving this family. Come right up here, come on, be brave, listen. And we're receiving Rich's leadership in our church families, brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? And we're each committing to play our full part in this part of Jesus' church too. We're not taking a watching brief on how the new boss does. We leave that to football managers. That's far from God's heart and intention. We're praying God's anointing on you as you lead in this church and in this community and in this city. And it's so great to have our local, regional, national leaders here with us to join us all as we pray. Now, some are going to lead. Some of you will have things to write down and give to Rich and Laura. Please do that. But if I can invite the regional, you guys again, and our own SLT leadership team, let's come and stand with these guys. And we're going to be praying with them, thanking God for them, and blessing them together. And before we start praying, there's something special to do. Paul. Now, is there a likeness?
Just two quick things, Richard. One, this hope this doesn't get you too much. Your mother would be so proud of you and all your family, all that you've done. And the second brief thing is Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
So we're here to thank you, Lord, for a brilliant family, for heritage, and to say your blessing is going to abound more and more. We reach out to you all together in prayer today. And say, Lord, this is what you're doing. It's not our making help. And we're just joining in with you, commanding that blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
As I've been praying for you guys, I had an interesting picture. I had a picture of a ball of wool. It was like brand new, soft, or iron wool, pure. And I felt like God was saying that he's been spinning this wool over the years, and then now it's ready to be knitted from. And in this wool is all your experiences, all your knowledge, or your heartache or your joys. And he's been carefully spinning it together, sometimes having to stretch a bit, sometimes having to pull some things out, but now it's ready. And what I saw him knitting was a scarf. And it was such a cozy thing. It was such a homely thing. And what I felt he was saying is that what he's doing with you guys is that he's growing a home for this people. He's growing a home for people that don't have a home. And it is a place where people will find warmth. It's a place where people will find safety, where people will find comfort, where they find home. And you guys, that's how God has made you. It's not something that you have to work out. It's just by being who you are and who He's made you to be. It's just naturally letting Him knit this with you and with the family that you're building here together. So if it's okay, can I just pray over you both and over the whole family, actually, because that's what it is. You're building a family, you're building a home for this area in Exeter. Father, I thank you for Richard and Laura. I thank you for the call that you've put on their life and that people have seen a long time before. Maybe they may not have, but we thank you that you had a plan and you had a purpose. And there's this real sense that, like with Esther, that this is such a time, but that they were prepared for such a time as this. And there is such a need for this in our nation and in all of our towns. And I just thank you what you have put in them, what you have spun together over the years, Lord, and how together you've anointed them to build a home for those that are homeless. I've had a picture of like a warm fireplace as well, so this is definitely a place where people will come, where they have a safe place, where they will find warmth and love. So I just pray, I thank you that you're equipping them for this, but you've already have equipped them, and that will just be a natural thing coming out of them. So I just pray that blessing and anointing on them today as a family, as they open up their home and their spiritual home to this town, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, Rich and Paul. When this was first, written, I wondered, would God have anything to say? I remember an occasion when Barney Coombs handed over to Steve Thomas, and Barney Coombs took his coat off and put it on Steve Thomas. I said, that's a good idea, we could do that with Andy's coat. And I thought, well, Andy probably still needs his coat. Although apparently he's getting a new one. No, but I heard it all very clearly to me. I've already given Rich the coat he needs. Here's your coat. This is Rich's coat. This coat represents the anointing, the grace, and the ability to do what God is calling for him to. But there are three things about this coat, because it's a coat, just a picture, isn't it? And, really. But it's a very, very big coat. And there are three things. The first one came very, very strongly to me. First of all, this coat is big enough, not just to cover you, but to cover all you got. Because what God is never going to allow you to do is to forget that the most important part of your flock is these guys. They're going to be anointed and blessed as you are taking on this increased level. But this coat is also big enough to cover all this life here, including the beacon. And God has given you the grace and able to do that. And you need to remember that this is the ability and the anointing that God has given you. But if I can change the picture slightly, because this came to me much later, a coat, in reality, you tend to put on when the weather's not very good. Now, I'm trusting that most of the time the weather's going to be wonderful in this church. But there will be times, and I can promise there will be times when things aren't easy, issues come up. You have to remember that God has given you the right coat, and you will be able to deal with these things, cope with these things, and get through the victory of these things when you want to say, you're like this for a game of soldiers, you carry on, and God will give you that ability to cope with all situations. The anointing is there. He's already, you've had it for years. God has given you this coat. This coat is expanding with you, physically, but spiritually. And you are going to be a covering for a lot of people, especially your family and all the rest of us too. And Lord, I just pray for them, all and every one of them. Lord. Lord, because you never want anyone to sacrifice a family on the altar of ministry. I pray that this family will be greatly, greatly blessed and encouraged in the years that lie ahead. Through the good times and the not so good times. And that out of that too, this large family of your church here will continue, as in the past, will continue and increasingly receive from you through these guys as they work with the rest of the leadership team here, for whom we thank you as well. And Lord, I thank you that you've given Rich the right coat, the right grace, the right anointing to do what you're calling to do.
If I might just contribute something prophetically. Now, sometimes you look for some confirmation that something you sense is prophetic is from God. But being I saw all this tree over here, I think we should show. Corinne and I have prepared this and brought something. Now, this is for you as a family. But what do we see here? Just some sticks. You don't see much. But I just felt God was saying for you that Rich and Peter, Eleline, Barney, Laura, together, you could look after this. It's not going to be the biggest tree in the world, but what can you see? What do you see? What can God do? God says, you cannot produce any fruit on this tree. I produce the fruit on this tree. You care for the environment and you look after it. And this tree should produce fruit. It produces cherries. And the point will be with care, but can you see it? What can we see for what God will do through this family and through this man? But when there is fruit, who's going to enjoy it? Yes. All the fruit will be enjoyed by all the family. And so I'd just like you to receive this prophetically.
Thank you.
And take it and see what happens. Because it's what God does. Amen?
So, Lord, a new day, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for a new confidence, Lord. Lord, sometimes we put confidence in the wrong things, in our own abilities, our flesh, somehow. Lord, today I pray for a new confidence in the call of God on this man's life. Lord, a new confidence in you, Lord, who have called and appointed and anointed. I pray this man, Lord, may run the race with his fullness of his heart and all of his will and his being, Lord, that he may be full and wholehearted in it. And Lord, he may run the race that's set out before him. And Lord, all of us are going to be there, if you like, cheering and encouraging and going with. I pray for new days, new things, new exciting doors to be opened, new opportunities, new avenues. And I pray that as David was anointed, and he said, from this day on, the Spirit of God was with him. I pray from this day on, the Spirit of God will be on Rich, Laura, the family, in a new way. We commission them today for all that you've got for them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So let's all stand together, shall we? And as many of us lay hands on this family at the front as can, or point your hands out towards this this wonderful family, to Rich and Laura. And we just command that blessing. Okay, let's all speak aloud together, shall we? We say we're wanting the Holy Spirit to come with that anointing. So we're saying, Lord, come by your Spirit. Do pray out your prayers at this point if you're comfortable. Come, Holy Spirit, with your anointing power. Come with your grace. Come with your grace. Come with your empowering. Come with your creativity. Come with your confidence. Come with courage and the power of your spirit. And we release this family for greater fruitfulness, greater effectiveness, and total love together in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. And we pray for ourselves that we will do all we can in stepping up in our anointing and use the gifts that we have to make Rich's job the easiest job in the world. We will do our bit. We will pull together as a family. So let your anointing flow. Let there be a harmony. And let there be that example of servanthood that cascades through this church, through this community and city. For your glory, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give them a round of applause. Okay, we're going to just join in one song together. We're doing one song together. and we'll all have a bit more time to stretch our legs. Then Alan is going to speak to us. Okay, and we're going to hand over to Rich at this point.
We're going to continue in worship. We want to respond to that. I want to respond at that time of prayer in worship. So will you stand with me? And Mark and the band will just lead us in one song before we hear from Yes, Lord, we just declare these words as truth this morning. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Lord, we speak this as truth today. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down, and we'd love to just receive from Alan now. Alan, let me pray for you.
Yes, please.
Lord, we thank you for Alan. We thank you for this man making this journey down. We thank you for his friendship. Lord, we receive him now. As a church, we receive him. We receive your words through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Marvelous.
Amen.
Do I need to do anything else? That's great. Well, good morning. It is a joy to be with you. It's been a long time since I've been in Iscot on a Sunday, but been through Exeter many times midweek, and it is a joy to be here on such a special occasion. I've just got an hour's talk. I think that'll probably be all. Perhaps not, but it is a joy. And I do want to just say thank you for the way that we've been received today, and how delighted we are to be involved, Mark, Nestor and I. And looking forward as well, I have to say, to receiving Andy and Karina into the full workings of the Synergy team. And in due course, we want to pray that that Synergy thing will be a description of our actions rather than just the title of a sphere. So we want to try to work together and we'll see where God takes us. But there are exciting days ahead, and conference in February and all the rest of it. So. If you've got Bibles, could you just quickly turn with me to, and I mean quickly, because I'm going to stop at 12. How about that? Is that a deal?
Yes.
I will stop at 12. Jesus, help me. Hebrews chapter 12. It says, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that you will not grow weary and lose heart. First thing to say is this. Well done, Iska. Congratulations on a successful transition. You say, well, it's only just started. No, it's already been written. It's done. It's sorted. There's peace, there's joy, there's happiness. Can I even go as far as happiness? There is absolute acceptance that God has done something in this transition already that means that the future is set and secure. Well, you know, secure meaning as long as we walk in faith. if we don't walk in faith and we venture into areas of perhaps apathy or unbelief or dullness, then things get tricky pretty quickly. So you need that big coat all along. But the priority here in the scripture I've just read out is that despite circumstances, despite difficulties, despite challenges, whatever it is that comes up and comes our way, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Author, he wrote it, perfecter of our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith seems to be something very central. Now, I'm just cutting to the chase, but imagine that ISCA hadn't started as a church that was built on faith. What if it had been built on works? What if it had been built on a particular, peculiar understanding of church attendance or financial giving? That actually it was built on the idea that you had to go to every meeting every time, that you had to wear certain clothes to get in. Okay, I know that was a stretch. But what if it was built on another foundation? But what I know of ISCA, and probably what you all grew up into, is that you were a church that was born of the Spirit, and that God gave you the ability to be led by the Spirit. Your leaders led you by the Spirit. It wasn't just their 10 best ideas. It was the idea that God had spoken and God was speaking, and that remains the foundation of this church, doesn't it? And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to be led by the Spirit. Paul writes to the Galatians, he says to them, he gets a bit angry in chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, I'm not suggesting that this is you guys. But he does say to them, look, having started in the Spirit, do you now think that you should finish in the flesh? He said, did God work miracles amongst you and give you his Spirit by the works of the law? In other words, generationally speaking, the very core business of any leader or leadership team in any church is to be led by the Spirit. It doesn't matter what the systems are, what the shape is, what the latest revelation is. All good and all by God. But if we're not led by the Spirit, we end up in cul-de-sacs pretty darn quick. So here's a thought for you. People have said that churches like ours have served their time. They said we're revival churches, we're revival movements. We have revived some truth that God has given and wants to restore to the life of the wider church. And churches like ISCA and our church in East Midlands and all kinds of other churches, you are reactionary revival churches who are putting back into the life of the wider body of Christ something that's been missing. So let's just ponder that for a moment. I'm just going to invite Mr. Mulcock, can you just come and sit on this chair? Let's just say that there have been some core revelations. That one there, thanks, mate. Core revelations given to ISCA and to the wider body of Christ. Let's just call that relationship. Covenant, if you like. Family. That's a core piece of understanding revelation that's been given to us as a people, I'd say, across Salt and Light, across Synergy, across our churches here. Relationship. Norman, could you come and sit here, please, sir? See, I think the second thing that we want to say is that one of the things that marks us out is that we are a people of the Spirit. We are people who don't just talk about the Spirit as an absent friend or finish off our prayers with in the Spirit, but actually we move in the Spirit. That means not just growing fruit, but actually giving gifts. And the Spirit wants to give gifts, and that is our DNA. The gift of the Spirit, and the charismatic nature of his church, is central to our understanding. Now, it may be that there are now other churches in town who really value family and relationship, and then there might be other churches in town who really value the gifts of the Spirit. And that's why people say, oh, well, your day's done. Thanks for what you've given the wider body of Christ. We appreciate all you've done for us. Why don't you just go and join the Anglicans? Just any Anglicans in today, thank you for coming. God bless you. Thanks. But here's a thought. ISCA was and remains a pioneer church. You're a pioneering people. You say, oh, I don't know about all that. I don't really like it. I quite like going home at night, just sitting around the fire. Look, it's not just about that. It's about the call of God on all of us. And that means that it won't be any surprise to you that the God who kept on moving Israel through the desert by a pillar of cloud and by a pillar of fire is always continually moving his people, and he will use us as pioneers going forward. But what's the revelation that's going to take us forward? What is it that God's called us to do next? Well, I want to bring this as my kind of contribution this morning, prophetically, if you like. This is what I sensed. I sensed that God was saying, Iska, you're a pioneer church. You're a pioneer congregation. Rich, just come and sit in that chair with me, please. And you know, behind each of these people, I appreciate the whole white male thing just going on right here. Don't think I'm blind to it, I see it, okay? But just like behind here, we've got family. Behind here, we've got the life of the Spirit. There's loads of you contributing, giving yourself to it. But what does this fellow represent, all of his generation? What does his leadership represent? Well, we'll see, but here's my instinct. It's going to be around mission and discipleship. We don't have to give away... Just don't stand over there, please. We don't have to give away family. No, I'm just to the left. And we don't need to give away the life of the Spirit. We don't lose our heritage to embrace something new. We occupy, come back, sirs, if you will, please. Thank you, gentlemen. Good exercise. We can occupy all these three key foundational revelations for us as a church at the same time. All of that's true for all of us for all time. But sometimes God will emphasize different things in different spaces. You're a pioneer people, but you are a prophetic people. Prophetic. Not pathetic. That's a wrong word. Prophetic people. And God is going to use you again and again and again. And there may be another chair in another 20 years. And somebody else might be sitting there, and they might have just received something from the Lord that will mean that ISCA will be standing here saying, look, you don't need to give up family and relationship or life in the Spirit or mission and discipleship to embrace the next thing. We're a people that are on the move, and it's not over yet. In fact, actually, there's a whole new challenge for you, just like it was in the early days, to say, we go again. And we go again and we remain and retain our distinctiveness as the people of God, because we will never stop being a people of the Spirit and we will never stop being a people of relationship. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, pioneer, perfecter of our faith, and we press on. Don't look back and say, oh, those were the days, as though those days would never return. Well, they may never return in quite the way they were then, but who knows what God's got ahead? And I'm excited about the prospect of being involved with you guys and walking with you guys and strengthening in whatever way possible to cheer you on from a distance and say, keep going. God's given you something unique today for this city and for this region. Because it's not enough to have just one or two or four or five churches in our region when there's the whole of Devon and Cornwall to reach. We need some new churches, folks. We need some new revelation. We need all the gift of the Spirit that we can possibly use. And we need all the relational covenantal strength that's required to bring that into being. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you both. Okay, I think that's kind of it. Here's the thought, last thought. We occupy these chairs at all times. Faith requires that we steward the gifts that God has given to us. And gifts as a family can be revelation. My family, my daughter decided on a Friday night that she was, Shana name is, she decided on a Friday night she was going to do a year out with a church, with some friends of ours in Sheffield, and she decided on a Friday, and it started on the Monday. There was a 1,700 pound gap between like saying, I'd like to go, and going. Over a weekend. Anyone go, oh, okay. So anyway, we prayed, and we remembered that there was such a day back in the 80s when actually the same thing had happened to me. And on a particular Friday, I got accepted into a YWAM course in the East Midlands. And then I think it started on the Monday, and I didn't have any money either. By the time I got there on the Monday, I'd been given enough, not only to support myself, but 50% support another person who was on the program. I wasn't even really part of a church. I was still at university at the time. God provided anyway. So when we went into that weekend, we had a record, a testimony, a template of what God had done before. And we said, if God could do it for me, then surely he could do it for Sean. So we turned up, and a friend who was leading the meeting that day just said, oh, let's pray for Sean, and we'll bless her as she goes, kind of thing. And I'm going, yeah, bless her, bless me. Bless me a lot. And so as we were kind of praying, and he just said all of a sudden, he changed tack and just said, look, Sean needs some financial support. Let's just, you know, if anyone wants to just come and give us some money now, that'd be great. Well, people swarmed forward, and they gave her loads of money. They were sticking it in their hands, sticking it in their pockets. And then this little, she had this little bag like this. I mean, little bag. It's not one of those kind of mum bags. It was like a little thing. You know, and so she took it back. We went home. Sean prayed in the car, Lord, multiply what's ever in this bag. Got home, and she emptied the bag on the rug, just in our living room. Empty the thing out, and there was like lipstick, and it was for such a small bag, it was amazing what was in there. How'd you do that? Anyway, so it's all in there, and it comes out, and there's hair clips, and there's money. And you count the money, and she needed $1,200 for rent, and she needed another $1,200 for, what you call it, for fees, and she needed $500 for like the first deposit and some rent or something. Anyway, that's what our figure was. She counted it all up, emptied the bag, and it was £1,200. He said, oh, praise God, that's fantastic. Shame about the rent. And we just said, hang on. No. Just put your hand back in that bag. So Sean put her hand back in the bag and pulled out a 50. She said, fantastic. My first response was, put your hand back in. So she didn't pull out a 20. And then she put it back in again and pulled out 250s. And it kept on coming until we got to 1,700. I said, are you sure we didn't want 2,000? I'm very shallow, there's no question about that. So somehow we saw a miracle taking place, but the testimony, the record in our family was, he's done it before, he'll do it again. Surely what he's done for dad, he'll do for daughter. Listen, Iska. Surely what God has done before, he will do again. Because you are stewards of the miracles of provision, the miracles of healing, the miracles of answered prayer that have taken place in the course of this church. And you are stewards of those records and testimonies. They are gifts to you. Because, honestly, we are meant to pass those stories on to our children so that they do not lose heart and grow weary. Do you tell your stories of faith, of answered prayer, of adventure? I know the struggle too. There's time to say God met us in the pain. Let me tell you about that. But also that God met us when we prayed and he answered. And God met us in all kinds of ways. And you say, well, I haven't seen any provision like that. Well, there's always time for a first time. There's room for us to remember not just tough moments, but the times when God moved in this church. And I want to encourage you to do just that. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Would you just stand for a second?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to pray for you if I can. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would release faith in your people and faith in Iska to believe, Lord, that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Father, we want to pray for lots and lots of people who haven't yet had the privilege of getting to know you to get to know you. And we want to pray, Father, that that would happen as this church develops, grows, and continues to mature and break new ground. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Alice. Please stay standing, and if the band would come up, please. We're going to close with one final song, and then we're going to have a time of prayer and blessing in a different, fun way that couldn't possibly go wrong. So I'll leave you with that thought in just a moment. But we'll just close with Build Your Kingdom here. And that'll be our prayer as we close our time together.